It's called Vertically Challenged. Good morning, and welcome to the celebration of life of Joshua Maffey, who happens to be my only brother, our only brother. Joshua was born August 31st, 1926, died February the 13th, 20, after a very long goodbye to his beloved son and family. He was the eldest of this large Italian family, the only male with five sisters. I don't know how he tolerated them, but I came along a long time later, so he didn't have to tolerate me too long. He was predeceased by our mother, Maria Luigia Mancini Maffei, and my father, Salvatore Rocco Maffei. Also predeceased by sisters Adeline, Philomena, and Elisabetta, who just passed last August, 6 months ago. He has left behind me and my sister Antoinette. Right to the end of his life, he always called me his baby sister, no matter where he introduced me. Funerals, weddings, friends, parties, it didn't matter. I was always the baby sister, even with this gray hair. This will always be my special memory of my brother and the love he had for his Lord Jesus Christ. Our father was a musician and taught many people how to play an instrument of their choice, but Josh was by far the best he ever taught. And although I don't remember very much about my father, I do remember him saying that. My brother, at the young age of 18, was asked to join the Benny Goodman Orchestra that traveled around, but after much persuasion from the Italian family, he refused. He declined. I don't know if he ever regretted that. He never did pass that on to me. That didn't stop him, though. Josh played around the world. I remember him telling me that one of the greatest stops he ever had was playing on the tarmac in Brazil. And he said, and everybody came out to listen. And he was more than overjoyed when 3 years ago I went to Brazil on a mission. Sorry if my voice cracks, it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult. What made my brother special, and always will be special, is he only played Christian music, only played Mr. Q, Christian music, and all kinds of Christian music, from the hymns to the gospel. He loved all music, accompanied in many concerts by beautiful singers. He shone whenever he was playing music. Many people have claimed to me and to others that he was the best saxophone player that they ever saw or heard. I know he was the best. We are all a family and friends here. We're here because we're Christians and we know how to celebrate death. Does that sound like a bad thing to say? I don't think so. The definition of the dictionary says death is the end of existence, but the Bible, in the Gospels and in the Psalms, in 12 different places, they quote death as eternal. Death is eternal. So though we miss and we grieve, we know where Josh is. In the Gospel of John, it is written, "For it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Rest in peace, Joshua, and rise in glory. Prayer is our way of communication with God. When we pray, it puts God near to us. And as a family, it's always related as a household of related people. But what about our extended Christian family who is gathered here today? We are a family. We are meeting here to honor a great Christian. They've asked me to lead you in prayer. excuse me. They've asked me to lead you in prayer, and it is my honor to do so. These are called the prayers for the people. When I stop, please just come back to me with, hear us, Lord. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Hear us, Lord. May all who have been baptized in Christ's death and resurrection die to sin and rise to the newness of life. And may we with him pass through the grave and gate of death to our joyful resurrection. Hear us, Lord. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. Hear us, Lord. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Hear us, Lord. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Hear us, Lord. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may find strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope and the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. Hear us, Lord. Grant us peace and grace to give Joshua to your never failing love, which sustained him in his life. Receive Joshua into the arms of your mercy, and remember Joshua according to the favor that you bear for your people. Hear us, Lord. May Joshua rest in peace and rise in glory. Amen.
Thank you, Victoria, for leading us in prayer and sharing some of your fond memories of your brother. I wonder whether or not he ever had the opportunity of ever getting to the washroom with all those sisters that he had. I hope you had more than one washroom or bathroom in your home. You'll notice that, that one of the flower arrangements up here looks like a musical instrument. Does anybody know which instrument it is? Yeah, and do you notice the saxophone over here? Josh's saxophone is on the piano as well. Oh, it's going the wrong way. Forgive David, he's got it set up the wrong way. We're going to sing. Josh loved to sing and certainly play for songs. And so in your hymn book, number 139, we're going to be singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And when you turn to it, we'd like you to stand and we'll sing together.
Dial changes.
When visiting Josh in the hospital over these last while, he's been home for a while, but he was in the hospital for an extended period of time. One of his great desires was to make sure that every nurse that didn't have a CD of his got one. And he gave it to them free of charge. So I don't know how many nurses at Southlake or doctors or others that visited would have got a CD of Josh's. How many of you have one of his CDs? Yes, I figured most of you did. He was very generous at giving them out, and he wanted the Lord to use his abilities to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our privilege to have Katerina Velasquez come, and she's going to sing the Lord's Prayer for us at this time.
Thank you very much, Katrina. When Pastor Barry mentioned about a number of people who received one of Josh's CDs, I'm one of them, and it was just a few months ago, as a matter of fact, but there's strings attached to the ones he gave me. He said, would you do me the honor of, when the time comes, playing a duet with me at my funeral? So I said, yeah, we could do that. Josh and I and Irene, we go back 65 years in our music ministry, In fact, I had the pleasure of introducing Josh to the chap who played the piano on his recording, Reverend Jeremy Mahood from Sudbury, All Nations Church. Josh and I used to go up across the north there and do concerts on behalf of World Vision, and All Nations Church is one of the major churches we attended. And so Jeremy is on the piano, and so I'm going to be accompanying two of my no longer with us friends. But it's not the first time I've done this before. But and Josh moved up to New Market 40 years ago, and his pride and joy was his garden. He went out there morning, sun up to sundown. If it wasn't the garden, it was the fish pond. He had fish, and he loved those fish. And he taught me a bit of Italian, too. He taught me, hey, voglio, and paisan, and come sta. And that's it. That's all he taught me. But however, that relationship was wonderful. And so I thought it would be very appropriate today to, because of Josh's love of his garden, the foliage and so on, that I would play for you his recording, and I will harmonize with him on In the Garden. And on the final chorus, if you like, I'd like to bring you all in to sing the final chorus with Josh, okay?
Going to the gym today to sweat out my sickness.
Right over here.
It's okay. That's okay. I don't like microphones. And we come from a gospel music family, a Pentecostal family. And I was born into a gospel music family. And as I was going to the sauna to sweat out what's been a rough cold for myself and then for my dad, and I was thinking in my head to when I was young, and being at People's Church and Ralph Rutledge sitting me up on a stool to sit for the microphone. And my dad, along with many, many, many people, worshiped the Lord, and they did it together as one. They weren't entertainers. They were part of a generation that was a community, and they looked out for each other. They opened their homes. They gave the shirt off their back for each other. They had a beautiful, beautiful fellowship, and because of a good, good, caring, giving, loving God, that was reflected in all their lives, and they harmonized with each other like true musicians do and true people who do love each other. So I don't know why I want to do this, but this is the day that the Lord has made. Thank you. I want to just make my words short today. I don't need to tell the people who know my dad who he was. But who he was a good, good man because he served a good, good God. That's why he was a good man, because he served a good, good God. And my thoughts really, I had a whole bunch of stuff written down. And I like to ramble on and make big points and try to be all philosophical sometimes. But really, from a scriptural perspective, what is it, Pastor? The vine, the branch, and the vine? Yes, God is the vine, and we are the branches, and the branches produce fruit, and we are the fruit. And my dad was, his characteristics were reflective of this. His fruit was that from God. He was giving, he was kind, he was generous, he was all these things because he served the Lord with all his heart. That's why he was so good, because it's a reflection of God. Not of Josh Maffey. That was God moving through his Model T Ford body, right? So he's no longer in here. The windows didn't work anymore. The brakes didn't work. The parts were going. Like, he is at peace. We have peace because God has given us such a great gift. He's given us a long goodbye. There's so many things I'd like to express with God and how he's been so good to us. But I'd first like to thank, I actually like to thank Pastor Barry. There's a whole group of people that go into God demonstrating his love for others. And Pastor Barry goes to the hospitals. He visits seniors mainly and people who are just sick, I believe. And sits with them and reads scriptures with them, encourages them. Being in the hospital sucks. It's a lonely place. It's a tough place. He was there for my dad weekly. My thoughts first were really went out to his care team. And it was a team. It wasn't just me. It wasn't David the caregiver and David the doing this and that. I felt like it was a team. And the team extends also to the people who held us in prayer for 2.5 years. Those prayers strengthen us and helped us get through such a difficult time. I think of his rehab team, Annette, Eula, Tara. I think of my dad's perseverance as his body was like just to endure so much, one thing after another. It was unbelievable to see this person never give up, never quit, to keep going, to pull himself up by one arm, just to get up out of a chair, literally, at 94. I'll be always awestruck by his perseverance and his willingness just to never quit. I've quit in my life many times. He never did. He kept going. I think of his care team. I think of Megan, who was with us Monday to Friday for 2 years, helping Diane, myself, adjust to at-home, everyday things. She's such a blessing to us. I think there's so many to thank, really. There's Michelle's to thank. They're everywhere, Michelle's. I don't know. Lourdes was a real blessing to us as the year went on. Rochelle was a blessing. So many people. I can't believe I'm forgetting a couple names in the moment right now. But we all felt like we were part of a care team, and there was love in the house all the way through, all the way till God took him home to be in glory. His last evening, one of his dear PSWs, Joan, was with Josh and myself going through the bed routine. And I think Joan and I knew he wasn't doing well, but we didn't know that it was his time. And just to briefly go through that, those moments, my Aunt Francie was supposed to be coming up the next day, and she came, and she's bringing coffee, goodies, food, survival food, like she normally does. And literally, my dad had passed away in the middle of the night peacefully, and God really appointed her to be there with me in those moments for that day, so that I could be comforted. And we know that God's will is not man's will, but when we come into these difficult things and we say, "Oh, lean not on your own understanding," well, I don't understand why I have so much peace. And the only reason I do is because it's God. God had I had a long journey. Most of you know that, and to bring me back through the love of friends, family, who are friends, to bring me back to a point through and prepare me. I have friends in this room that are family, and you know who you are, and to see me through all this stuff, to God to give me back to my dad, and I could just give him something. And he did so much for so many people, and it was a blessing to be with him and a tremendous gift to be with him for the past 2.5 years. And I'm so thankful that God was so gentle and spared him what would have been a long, long, horrible road of bout with the flu. And I felt God gave me a word, and he said, "That's enough. It's time. It's time to come home." And God is good. We have peace because of how peacefully the whole thing has happened. And I realize in retrospect, too, I was just like, you know what? This is just good. My Aunt Francie was supposed to be with me that day. This is his perfect will. And he's been so gentle and gracious to us and for so many years. And we just give him the praise, the glory. Anything that is good in us is because of him. Thank you, God.
I need to say thank you on behalf of all of the family for what you did for our brother, uncle, friend. 2.5 years of constant care. Some of it to Diane, and most of it to his father because he required it. I thank you, and in God's words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done.
Sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The music we shared together and created together still plays on, as you have heard this morning. He was romantic, loving, forgiving, and the list could go on forever. Some people who travel through life leave footprints wherever they go, footprints of kindness and love, courage and compassion, humor and inspiration, joy and faith. Even when they have gone, you can still see their trail, a trail so bright with hope that it invites all of us to follow. Josh, you are always in my thoughts. How often we have laughed together. How deeply we have loved each other. How we cared so much for each other. Blessed are those who walk in the light of your presence. Psalm 89:15. And now I would like to share some memories of the music ministry, not only of Josh, but of Josh and Diane. For many years, as most of you know, they were a very special part of the choir and orchestra of the famous Jubilant Singers, and many a time we went to banquets to celebrate with them. This group has brought great musical blessings all over the country, and in fact, all over the world. Now, as for my acquaintance with Josh, I don't think I better tell you how many years it has been. But just to let you know, we have worked together musically a long time ago at Stouffville Youth for Christ. Raise your hand if you remember that term, Stouffville Youth for Christ. Not many. Nonetheless, they had a radio broadcast weekly, so I had the honor of playing with Josh. He played the sax and I played the xylophone. And I sang in the girls' choir and Josh accompanied us. And I see one of our choir members, Betty Brown, back here smiling. Well, she remembers those days when we traveled around Ontario and particularly to the boys' training school in Bowmanville, where you can imagine a girls' choir was quite a hit. But of course, Josh accompanied us. Well, years and years went by and I lost touch. Often thought about Josh. I guess he lived in the city and we lived here. But then in 2007, a wonderful thing happened because we planned a reunion of that Stouffville Youth for Christ radio broadcast, and it was held downstairs. Well, some of it was up here, but the rest was downstairs. And of course, Josh immediately came and we recognized each other and had a great chat. Now, 3 weeks after that, and this was now early December, I found myself in need of a great soprano soloist and a saxophone player for our Christmas musical drama. Who else would you ask but Diane and Josh? And so they accepted, and they became a major part of that Christmas musical drama, which happened 3 weeks after they arrived, and they carried on like they had been here forever. That's how much talent they had. What a blessing, then, it has been to have them remain here with us in this church, in the music ministry, for 12 years beyond that date. Now, as we are worshiping here today, Josh is no doubt worshiping his Lord and Savior. And I would like to imagine that just maybe he's playing that saxophone again with great gusto. And his hands and fingers once again are absolutely perfect. As we all suffer the loss of our dear friend Josh, may we be comforted and find comfort in the words of that old, old hymn, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." Josh and Diane, your lives have touched many, and we love you deeply.
Was absolutely beautiful. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. I read from chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the goods stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. This is the gospel of Christ.
Isn't that wonderful, the music today? Special thank you to some of our instrumentalists who found it difficult to get off work, but chose to come and be part of our celebration today. So a special thank you to a number of you who have had to do that. We're going to be singing a great Gaither song, 358. It's in your hymn book. It's entitled Because He Lives. We're going to be singing verse 2 and verse 3. Sorry, verse 1 and verse 3. Let's stand to sing. 358.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? I hear me and David, we have been talking about, and from what I hear from Josh in the past, he wanted this service to be a worship service, not just a regular funeral service, because, you know, funeral services are boring, right? He wants a service that would kind of show whom or to whom he served and whom he loved and what he used to do. Josh was a man of worship. And I'm probably the one in this building that has probably met him in the shortest amount of time. We coming out of the province about a year ago, and I met Josh. He was already on wheelchair and had the privilege to meet Diane. And one of the first days, by the way, we went to visit them. I was surprised as Diane decided to sing a song. Wow. Oh, this lady can sing, I tell you. And she got married to a man who knows how to play and how to worship. And that is what, when David says, you know, he wants to worship songs. He wants to sing worship songs that lead about, talk about God and promote Jesus. That's the type of man Josh is and was. Well, right now he still is, because I know he's up there. He's well alive and he's well, and he's probably saying, hey, guys, I'm here and I don't want to come back. Praise the Lord. But we did read a text this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 and 45. And I did write this text, read this text. Our dear sister read it here. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, And that's basically the text I want to use this morning for a little bit, just a little bit. It's almost 12 o'clock, probably you guys are hungry already. But the reality of the matter is, what made Josh the man he became? What was it that made, you know, because, see, as I was visiting him, this couple times I went to see his in his house, and he, as I said, he was already in a wheelchair, and but listening to his music, listening to his talks, it wasn't like a soft man talking, and he was saying, praise the Lord, very soft way. Observing his prayers, his way of life, his passion for music, I rejoiced. I wish I had met him earlier. And each time he would come here with the wheelchair here, with David pulling him in here or pushing him in here into the sanctuary, we were, I had to make sure I needed to give him a hug. Because there was such a glorious spirit around him. And it just made me a, wow, I could be a guy like that. So he was a man of faith. And I think one of the most fascinating thing in the Bible is the fact that the Bible talks about that there will be a time where the ministries that we today know will end, will cease. For example, evangelism that the church is doing will cease. Prophecy will cease. Intercession for people in prayer will cease. But there is a ministry that will continue on forever. Guess what ministry that is? That is the ministry of worship. That will be lasting forever. That's why he chose the right one. He is in this business on this side of the world, and he will be on the other side. He will continue on worshiping, just as is written in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, where angels surround the throne of God and just speaking one single word, and that is holy, 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 24/7. And some pastor even pointed out to me that because these angels, they had to repeat holy, holy, holy so many times. Each time they made around the throne of God, they discovered something new about the greatness, the majesty of God. That's why worship is so very important. And I can wrap my head around this. Why Josh was saying, well, I want to worship, I want to sing worship songs. I don't want to be wasting time singing, you know, worshiping the body, worshiping the, you know, the love life or the nature. And no, I want to worship God. And he focused precisely on that. But the text goes, a good man, he brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Now, what made him become a man like that? Well, I can assure you that he had a good heart, indeed. He was a good man. You know, you can, even if, let's say, no, I'm not a Christian, but there are some people that are non-Christian people. They still are good people, are they not? Not everybody is an assassin. Not everybody is a bank robber or an abuser or something. There are lots of people that are non-Christian. They're fantastic people, and they have a good heart. And so has Josh. But as he made a decision to follow and to discover about who Jesus Christ is, that mounted up to something that he became. Because out of his heart, he brought out of what he had received. And what came out? Worship. He recognized, I have a God. There is a God, and he is amazing. He is incredible. Why should I even thinking in stopping to sing or to worship and to play and to go around into the world? And I hear he had some connections with Brazil, which is my country. And Brazil, Peru, all over the world, and the south in Europe, and Africa, and wherever he went, taking this name,
because he had received something in his heart that led him to become a man of worship. He is there right now doing it life in color before the Lord, worshiping God. Because no good tree, you know, just out of if you think about it, if you haven't been inspired from above, you are actually not really able. You still can be a good person, but when it comes to worship God, you have to have received something in order to pass it on. You cannot just receive it or cannot just out of your, you're not going to, today I'm going to start worshiping God. No. You start worshiping God once you start understanding who this powerful, amazing, incredible, majestic God is. And that made a difference, all the difference in this man's life. So God considers good people all those who have there's a difference between who is God, who's good, but who God considers good. We think everybody is good, and as long as they don't bother me, they're good people. But God considers good those who understand who God is. And God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Have you heard of this name, Jesus Christ? A fantastic fella. He lived in this world. He showed himself as everything that God is was somehow in him. Now God, he needed to die. It's a whole other story, but I don't want to go into that today. But God could not die as a person, as a God. So he had to transform himself into flesh first in order for him to die. And that happened through Jesus Christ. He came in the form of Jesus Christ, born from a virgin, and 33 years later, he was being put on a cross so that you and I could live. So what made Josh had all these good things in his heart? It was his relationship with Jesus Christ that was put into his life. Nobody can be truly good on his own power. We're all born in sin. We're all guilty until the day we accept the removal of our guilt provided by this name called Jesus Christ. Josh did that. His communication with God was now a free one. He got in. You remember the day Jesus Christ was crucified out there in Jerusalem? The Bible says that the curtain of the temple ripped apart the day, at the very moment, he died. What does that mean? Well, the priests had to go into the temple, get the information from the people, whatever the complaints, and they had to go into the temple and present it before the God who was in there, inside the Holy of Holies. At the moment Jesus Christ died, it ripped up that curtain, allowing everybody, as of now, enter into the presence of God. Once he is in the presence of God, you are just in awe and in shock and in, oh my goodness, holy, 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 holy. And somehow Josh sneaked in. He got in. He understood his failings, his sin. He recognized, yes, without just a me on my own, I might be even a good musician, but I cannot really worship. But he understood God. And he started to worship Almighty God. So what makes a person good? It happens through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. He makes you good. He makes you even holy. By the way, as soon as you accept Jesus Christ, guess what happened to you? You are no longer a sinner. We think we're all a bunch of sinners out there. Guess what? In the Bible, as soon as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are considered by the Bible, by God, as a saint. You always wanted to be a saint. Come on. You have that chance. Because the Lord allows us to come in and He removes our sin, our filthiness, our dirtiness with the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing we have to do, we just have to receive it and accept it. And confess our sin. Yeah, I am a sinner. I am not a perfect person. Nobody is, not even Josh was. But as soon as you do that, the Lord considers you a saint. And He will receive you on the last day. He will resurrect you on the last day. True story. Don't take my word for it. Read the Bible yourself. It's there. That's why the church exists all these years. What they have been doing other than just preaching and preaching the gospel generation after generation, preaching the good news. Anyway, I am not here to preach to you this morning. I just want to give you a little message. So Josh was a good man, not because he did many good things, but he was good because God made him good. He confessed his sin. He humbled himself. He entered in. He saw who God was and what He did. And he started celebrating and worshiping. And that was his life until the end. I'm sure if he would be able to. He tried. There was one time he tried to hold that. But you know, it just didn't work anymore. But now he is out there in a perfect body. Young, as in the picture. You have the picture. Probably even nicer than this picture. Look at him. Just look at him. He's just doing just fine right now. He is in a perfect place and a perfect body, celebrating with perfect sound from his voice, from his instruments. And yes, there will be instruments in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. May the Lord bless you. And yes, take this man as an example and just give it a little thought. Why in the world he insisted to sing worship songs or to pray or to play worship songs and no other songs? He had found something in God. Praise the Lord for that. May the Lord bless you all. Thank you so very much. On behalf of the Mafi family, we want to thank you so very much for coming. Those who have worked hard, taking him out of bed and putting him in bed and all kinds of things, visiting friends, relatives. May the Lord bless you very much. I will pass on, I think, the word to you, I guess. Praise the Lord.
In a few moments, I'm going to give the benediction, but before that, I just want to give a few instructions. At the end of the service, we'll be leading the casket and the family out to the hearse. We would encourage the rest of you who aren't family to just remain seated in your seats. The organist and pianist will play. And then after the casket has been put in the hearse, I will come back and dismiss you. The family will be going downstairs from the front way downstairs, and we'll encourage you to follow that way as well. It makes it easier for the serving of refreshments downstairs. All of you are invited to stay. If there's any of you that have some need of an elevator, we have an elevator available. So just let us know and we'll be able to direct you to the elevator. Father, we thank you for every remembrance of Josh. Thank you, Father, for the great giftedness that you gave to him of music. We thank you, Father, for the great gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came to die for our sins and who has gone before us, preparing a place for us. So Josh's place is already there and ready, and Josh has gone there. So, Father, we'll miss Josh. We look forward to when you come again, Lord Jesus, and give us those new resurrection bodies, and we'll probably be able to hear Josh play that saxophone again and so many other instruments that others have, Father. What a rejoicing time it'll be of celebration in heaven when we get there. Thank you that Jesus has gone before us and that he has promised to come again to give us new resurrection bodies. Father, we realize Josh struggled these last couple of years. That body of his was not functioning the way he would like it to. But as David said, he persevered with endurance. We give thanks, Father, for David, for Diane, for so many others who were there to be of great service to Josh in these final days and months. Now, Father, we thank you for the greatness of your love. We thank you for the grace and the obedience of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Not my will, but thine be done," as he went to the cross. We thank you for the indwelling of the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit of God who lives in the lives of those who've given their lives and hearts to him. Now, Father, we pray your blessing on the food and our fellowship time together with the family in a few moments, for we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen.